It's time for Rebel Extra. This is your team, Las Vegas, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 364-1100. That's 364-1100. Now, live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Bernie Fratto and John Von Tobel.
And then there was one. Just like that, the regular season has come to an end. UNLV wrapped up Mountain West Conference play in Fresno this afternoon, and well, the first half was sort of a microcosm for the season. UNLV trailed by as many as 16, even though, well, the Rebels actually led 8-4 early. And, you know, they struggled against the Bulldogs, pressured defense, had long scoring droughts, and at the intermission, where they were down 35-24. Fresno State came out in the second half, hit the first 7 points, built a 21-point lead at the 12:32 mark. And then thanks to some spirited play by Chris Clyburn and Troy Baxter, UNLV actually got the deficit down to 9 with 2 minutes to go in the game, but it was really nothing more than window dressing. Fresno State held on, beating the Rebels today by a final score of 72-59. Rebels close out the regular season with an overall record of 11-20, 4-14 in Mountain West Conference play. Next up, Wednesday, probably at 4 o'clock. Well, it will be at 4 o'clock, just a matter of who they play. We'll get to all that in a minute as the Mountain West Conference tournament will begin, and the Rebels have a lock on the 11 seed. They are tied with Air Force, but Air Force has the tiebreaker. We'll explain that as the show goes on. Welcome back to another edition of Rebel Extra, the postgame show devoted to you, the fans and supporters of UNLV Run Rebel Basketball. Rebel Extra brought to you by our proud sponsors, Angel Park Legacy in Durango Hills, OB Sports' most complete golf course experiences in Las Vegas, Diamondback Land Surveying, from brick walls to the Taj Mahal. Diamondback Land Surveying are your land surveying experts. 8-ball bail bonds. If you had more fun at the game than the law allows, call 8-Ball Bail Bonds to get you out of jail. And Pizza My Dear with a smoking lunch deal. 12-inch pizza for only $5. Two locations to serve you. Go to pizzamydear.com. Our final show of the season, folks. Give us a call, 364-1100, to be part of the action. It's an open forum tonight. Before we go any further, let me introduce my broadcast team. To my left, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together, is Nick Otomo. He'll also be taking your calls at 364-1100. To my right, I'm joined by the gentleman with his own show on Sunday mornings, Out of Line on Fox Sports 1340 across the hall. That's Brian Feldman. Brian, today, again, I said it in the open, really sort of a microcosm. Rebels battled early, sort of. They executed, you know, some half-court plays, but then it was just a matter of time, and they started to miss assignments. The Rebels did. They missed assignments. They weren't closing out on shooters. There were too many lazy passes, illegal screens, self-inflicted wounds, over-dribbling, missing shots, and it's another double-digit loss, and the regular season comes to an end.
Yeah, it does. UNLV had trouble early on, Bernie, closing down the middle early against Fresno, you know, helping to prevent and disrupt inside baskets, which is really a problem. As I praise their defense Wednesday night against Utah State, I am a little disgruntled by the defensive effort, especially in the first half tonight. They started off staying with Fresno State, looked like they could play with them, and then run after run and mistake after mistake again, Birdie. This team continues to shoot itself in the foot when it's in the middle of a game.
They did fall apart defensively as the first half wore on, but I thought their problems were on offense as well. They went long stretches, missing shots, errant shots. They were very much flustered by Fresno State's defense. Fresno State turned up the pressure, even featuring some full-court presses. And by the way, the Rebels had no answer for Terrell Carter. For a while, Chekton Tembele did his best. Even Tyrell Green, poor Tyrell, ends up as, you know, 1-for-13 today. Tough day for him. Later on, Christian Jones chipped in. Nobody could stop Terrell Carter. The dude has his own zip code. He redefines wide body. He's a good player, too.
Well, I said before the game, this guy needs to focus on playing football. I mean, look at the size of Terrell Carter. He is an absolute beast, Bernie. And it's something that is good for a guy like Chekton Tembele because he's going to be here. I don't think anyone doubts that he will be part of the 2017-2018 Rebels. I know we will,
show,
but I just wanted to say that experience like this going against a Terrell Carter can do nothing but good things for him. He got manhandled tonight, but I think going forward, that is a plus to get to play against a player like a Terrell Carter.
Fair enough. Gives him a sample of what he's going to need to do physically to get stronger over the summer, and hopefully he will. All right. This is a caller-driven show. This is your last chance, Las Vegas, to weigh in on the Rebels before next season, which you'll probably be here before you know it. Give us a call, 364-1100. You can join in, be part of the action, and we look forward to hearing from you. So without further ado, let's get the ball rolling Jose, start us off tonight on Rebel Extra, buddy.
Hello?
You're up, Jose.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Sorry about that.
It's all right. Go ahead.
First, I just want to say thanks to you guys, man. I know the show's over after tonight. You guys make this a caller-driven show, and it's amazing. And thank you for letting us get our voice out there.
Thank you.
Biggest thing to me is I really like Chris Claiborne. He's a really good kid. He's a regular customer where I work at. And it's just like seeing him play a little more these last couple games. He's been actually, you know, showing what he's got. They're giving him more minutes. Had a really good game today. Had a double-double. I just wanted to have your take on that. Like, you guys' take. Like, what do you think? You know, how do you see him, you know, moving on to next season? Is it somebody that you guys think that'll come back and will still be with the Rebels next year?
I think definitely, yes. Claiborne had maybe his best game of the year, 18 and 12, like you said, a double-double. Hopefully you can hear this, Jose. Claiborne had an excellent first half as well. He's an energy guy. He is got a nose for the ball. He's not afraid to defend. He's not afraid to crash the boards. Actually, 8.7 rebounds in the first half, finished with 18 and 12. I'm sure you'd agree, Brian. Chris Claiborne will certainly be featured in this team's roster next year.
Oh, Bernie, no question about it. Chris Claiborne, and I said it last game, I didn't think he had enough playing time, and I think we can finally see a kid that's getting healthy.
But he was nicked up, yeah.
You've pointed out about it all season long. Steve Cofield has as well. Claiborne has been dinged up, and I think we're finally seeing the Chris Claiborne we saw in the very first couple of games of the season. He's made a bid the last couple of games, without question, to be a fixture on this team for the foreseeable future. And hey, if not on this team, Bernie, let me tell you, if we're not smart enough, or I should say UNLV is not smart enough to keep him, other D1 teams are seeing that this kid is playing at the right level.
He played a lot, and he contributed, and he was
active. Tonight was great.
He was productive. I think you see what Coach Menzies sees, what we saw. He was highly productive at Ranger Junior College in Texas. He's a kid out of Romulus in Detroit. He was a good high school player. Still got a couple of years left. He's only a sophomore, and I think he will do – I think he'll continue to be productive within this program and is certainly part of the future plans. Back out to the phone lines, we're joined by Steve. Steve, you're up next in Rebel Extra. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. I just a few comments. It's been such a challenging season this year, and I'm just hopeful that this is a portrait on how can a national brand basketball team program go from being national class to going to being maybe one of the worst teams of all of NCAA.
Well, this year they were, but I'll tell you, not to cut you off, Steve, which I know I just did, but we've talked about this in previous shows. John Beilein was 10-22 his first year at Michigan, their national brand. Tom Crean was 6-25 his first year at Indiana, their national brand. Look what Jay Wright, about a dozen years ago at Villanova, their national brand, won 5 games. So this is where they're at now. So the real question, Steve, is where do we go from here? Not what's happening this year. Where do we go from here?
Right. And the only other comment I have is I really think that the powers to be need to think very carefully about recruiting some players that can shoot the basketball.
I'll agree with that.
I'm from South Dakota. And there's probably you can find a 6'2" guard in South Dakota, North Dakota, anywhere up there that makes 90% of their free throws, has one or two turnovers a game. They're quicker than Snot, and they can shoot the ball. Yeah, they're not long and athletic. It seems like UNLV has been recruiting athletic, long, athletic players for years now. They can't shoot. So, I mean, if you can't find some players that can shoot, go up to South Dakota. You can find a guard anyway. You won't find any big players, but you can find somebody that can run the plays and can shoot and will make 90% from the free throw line. They're a dime a dozen up there, but we can't find one down here. Unbelievable.
All right, thanks, Steve. Well, it's hard to argue with his premise that the Rebels have struggled shooting, certainly this entire year. I don't care what it is. And today, no different. The Rebels were 19-53. They shot 35%. They were 4-20 from behind the arc. That's brutal. 17-28 from the charity stripe. Also not very impressive. Kyril Green. He's going to finish up his senior season, at least in the regular season. He was 1 of 13 today, 0 of 8 from behind the arc. Can't argue with Steve's premise. This team needs to find some shooters.
Well, there's no question, Bernie. We know where they stand nationally. Just under the basket this year, it's been embarrassing. A D1 team that can't make layups, for God's sakes. I don't care if they're impeded or not. This is Division I basketball. But, Bernie, again, as far as this year goes, and I'm speaking of this year only, you know, yes, we've had shooting problems as far as free throw shooting go. We've never been this horrific under the basket. But free throws, there have been a problem. This year, they've actually done better. Today's not indicative of how they've shot free throws all year, but they've been above 67, 68%, which the last couple of years they have not. They've been terrible. But what I will say, Bernie, is, again, this year is a pass as far as, you know, and I'm glad we're not harping on Marvin Menzies. He gets a pass. This year you have to take as a wash. We still have the tournament to go. But I will say, and I mean this sincerely, we have seen certain players grow. And one of them, Cheka Dembele, I think is going to be a big part of this team coming down the road. I look forward to us going forward. And as far as finding shooters, Bernie, you know, I mean, it's hit or miss. You wouldn't have thought guys with some of the shooting averages they had coming in would shoot this poorly all season long.
A lot of guys had to make the transition to D1. They needed bodies in April, and so, but that's becoming a tired take. Back out to the phone lines. Fernando, welcome back to Rebel Extra. How are you?
How you guys doing?
All right, Fernando.
Hey, I want to thank you guys for having the show in, for the show, the call-in show, and hopefully the Rebels can spoil somebody's season coming up in the Mountain West Tournament. And, like you were saying, this season's a wash. I agree. Gotta give Marvin a pass. And hopefully, you know, the Nevada Wolfpack will get bumped off in this tournament.
It's a wide-open tournament. I do think there are four or five teams that have a fighting chance, although I will say I do think it's Reno's to lose. And, boy, they took care of business today. Colorado State led by as many as eight in the first half up in Reno, but the Wolfpack closed them out 75-62. Back out to the phone lines, we're joined by Derek. Derek, welcome to Rebel Extra.
Yeah, so I'm just calling to make a quick comment. Your show's excellent, first off. But I want to say that Menzies can build a program, prove that at New Mexico State. He's just got to go out and recruit the kind of players he wants and probably take a year to get the athletes and the players he needs this year, starting next off season and the season after that. But by year three, year four, he'll have a team that'll be competitive back in the Mountain West and winning a lot of games in the Mountain West.
Well, just to piggyback on something you said, he's got to get the players that fit his, quote, script for success. He has a certain formula and a methodology that he's employed, you know, his dozen or so years as a head coach. We know he worked under Lon Kruger. We know he worked under Rick Pitino. We know he worked under Steve Fisher. Philosophically, I think he knows what he wants. It's a matter of getting the players to match that system. Final thoughts, Steve?
That was Derek, right?
I'm sorry. That was Derek. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm sure Derek appreciates it. Anyways, Bernie, I like what Derek said, looking to the future now. This season is over with. It's done. And we'll talk about it
well,
here.
You still got the Mountain West.
They got the Mountain West tournament. But again, with what Marvin Menzies has seen right now, he goes into the Mountain West tournament. He's either going to be playing against New Mexico or he's going to be playing against San Diego State. 1-3 cumulatively against those two teams. Did beat New Mexico down in the pit. But as we talked about that game, they were ripe for the picking. They really were if you look back to where New Mexico was when that game took place. Bernie, can they make – you brought this up on the last show. After seeing them tonight, they beat Utah State. Is it possible to win one game in the Mountain West tournament? Is it possible to beat one of those two teams?
Is it possible?
Well, anything's possible, but I'm saying realistically possible.
Let me put
possible.
It to you this way, Brian. If the Rebels play San Diego State, I expect San Diego State to win by 10. If the Rebels play New Mexico, I expect New Mexico to win. I don't know what the score will be. I'm observing a team that simply can't play 40 minutes at a level of Division I basketball consistently. They come out today 3-0, 8-4, got 6 points off of turnovers, had some hustling defense. They were actually, you know, creating good open looks, getting the ball, you know, into the open shooter. Their spacing was pretty good. They were sharing the ball, but it can never be sustained, Brian. And you look up 10 minutes later, they're down by 11. Then they're down by 16. Then 21. And in the second half, it just got worse. And Fresno State went into this game, as the number four seed. There was nothing they were going to do to change their fates. And they got an excellent coach, Rodney Terry. He wasn't going to let them take a night off. I don't even know that Fresno State played with the kind of intensity. They're without Caracciato. And also, Paul Watson, arguably their best player. Not one of his better efforts tonight. He was 0 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 3 from behind the arc. 1 point the entire night. They did have four players in double digits, but they seemed to turn it on and turn it off. Ironically, the crowd cheered the most. Apparently, they have some sort of goofy promotion up there at Save Mart Arena that if the opposing team misses back-to-back free throws, everybody gets some kind of Chick-fil-A sandwich. And it happened earlier in the game, but there was a lane violation on Tyrell Green, so whoever was shooting free throws for the round, I think it was Chekna, he didn't get to shoot the second free throw. So on a technicality, they lost out. But sure enough, with 11:31 to go in the game, guess what? Dembele missed both free throws, and the place erupted over a chicken sandwich.
Chick-fil-A, so Chick-fil-A.
Okay. I don't know, you know, how serious Fresno State even took this game. So the record this season is somewhat superfluous in the sense that it's no indicator of how the Rebels are going to be next year or the next two or three years. And as I said, and I'll say it again, I am giving Marvin Menzies a hall pass this year. Let's define hall pass for the final time. Doesn't mean he has cradle-to-grave security. Doesn't mean he can't scrutinize his style. Doesn't mean you can't comment on his results. But I'm not going to allow this season to define Marvin Menzies as far as number one. Is he capable of getting the Rebels relevant again? Is he capable of creating success in the Mountain West Conference and getting the Rebels back to the postseason? And was he ultimately the right hire? This season will have nothing to do, in my view, as to whether or not, on a go-forward basis, those questions will be answered.
Bernie, I think those are all really good points. Marvin Menzies, again, he did what he was supposed to do. He came in here and put together a basketball team. That's what they asked him to do. Find players. Here's what you're getting, Marvin. You're getting a job. You're not our first choice. And you're getting three players. Build a team, and we need to compete next year.
But he also said it was his dream job.
It was his dream job, and he would take it over any job in America.
And we've talked about this all year, though. The UNLV-run Rebel basketball program, yes, it's a national brand, and they've had success in history. They're not immune. This program is not immune to some of the foibles that have beset other college football and basketball programs across the country, many of which are named blue blood-type programs. Rebels are taking their turn in the barrel. Fortunes can change. Where was Reno 2 years ago? They fire their coach. They're the class of the conference. They win the Mountain West Conference. They're a good-looking team with four very good-looking players. Marcus Marshall, Jordan Caroline, the son of Simeon Rice, Cameron Oliver, DJ Fenner. And they go deep. Where were they 2 years ago? So might we extrapolate that forward and say, well, if Coach Menzies can pull some magic like Eric Musselman did, maybe the Rebels can be fighting for a Mountain West Conference championship in the next year or two.
Marcus Marshall, what a great find for Eric Musselman. I mean, oh my, what does he do? He just comes in and leads the conference in scoring in his first year. I mean, so you see that there are players like that that you can recruit to come and play in the Mountain West. They're out there. They're available. Marvin Menzies just need to find them.
All right, let's take a quick break. He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. Nick Atomo producing Rebels Fall tonight at Fresno State 72-59, final regular season conference game. When we come back on the other side, we're going to be joined by the gentleman who handled the beat for 10 years, the UNLV-Runner Rebels, and very much looking forward to his thoughts in sort of a 360-degree panoramic view of UNLV-Runner Rebel basketball in its current state. It's a gentleman you've all heard of. It's Matt Eumanns. So stick and stay, folks. Don't go away. You're listening to Rebel Extra.
Text the show by sending ESPN to 69187 or give us a call at 364-1100. This is Rebel Extra.
Back on Rebel Extra, ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. Bernie Fratto, Brian Feldman, Nick Atomo producing. Rebels fall today at Fresno State, 72-59. It's all over except for the Mountain West Conference Tournament. At this time, we're joined by a gentleman, 10 years on the beat, covering the UNLV Runner Rebels for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, over 16 years at the RJ. Now he's currently wearing many hats with the Vegas Stats Information Network. Say hello to Matt Eumanns. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bernie. Great to be on with you and Brian tonight. You guys do a great job with this post-game show, man.
I appreciate that very much. All right, we're going to dive right into it. I want to kind of take a 360-degree panoramic view, Matt, of the last 12 months of UNLV Runner Rebel basketball. Sometimes you'll call. I'm going to start by drawing an analogy. Sometimes you'll come across road construction, and there'll be a sign that says "short-term pain for long-term gain." So, as we look at this season now, which is going to be a 20-loss season, is this a season blip, or do you see anything that you could share with us that might indicate the Rebels could start to climb the ladder of success as soon as next year?
Well, you made a good point in the first segment because you talked about Michigan and some of the tough times that that program went through. And actually, Michigan went through tough times with its football and basketball programs and has managed to come back. All you have to do is look at the Big 12 right now. Who's at the bottom of the Big 12? Shaka Smart at Texas and Lon Kruger at Oklahoma. So no program is immune to this, and one bad season is not the end of the world. But, you know, then the question becomes, where do you go from here? And do you have the right coach who can turn things around? Is Marvin Menzies the right guy who can get this turned in the right direction? I don't know the answer to that right now. It all lies in his ability to recruit. And I've actually heard a couple encouraging reports here in the last couple of days about Menzies making some progress with some recruits who could make a difference. So I think that's what you have to look at next is who's Marvin going to bring in next year? What's his team going to look like in 2017-18? Because let's face it, when he was at New Mexico State, he won a lot of games and had success because he had better players than everybody else in a bad league. And basically that's what he's got to get at UNLV. He's got to get the talent level back up dramatically to where the Rebels have better players than basically everybody else in the league. And it's not that difficult to do. When you look at the facilities at UNLV, the fan support's incredible when the team is good. And I understand why fans are staying away this year. I mean, it's downright depressing. You don't even want to watch this team play. But the fans are there when this team is good. So you got fan support, you got great facilities, you got, in my opinion, the best city in the world. And you can recruit big-time talent here. Lon Kruger started to show a little bit of that, and Dave Rice and his staff drove that point home. So Rice and his staff recruited a ton of talent to UNLV. So if Marvin Menzies can do that again, then this is not the end of the world. He's just got to find a way to get a couple difference makers in here and get this thing turned in the right direction.
Hey, Matt, Brian Feldman. You know, what I'm wondering is, this year, I don't feel this, and I've gotten asked this a decent amount on my show. Do you think what's happening right now, and especially what started last January with the basketball program, has damaged the brand UNLV?
I think it's damaged it a little bit, but it's short-term damage. Any program can overcome that. I can tell you guys that, you know, I went to Purdue, and when I was at Purdue, I was actually a UNLV fan. I loved UNLV basketball when I was in school. And Purdue had a horrendous season about 11 years ago, just like UNLV is going through now. And they've managed to bounce back and win a few Big Ten titles since then and get back to the top of the Big Ten. So people tend to forget that one really horrendous season you had. If you can bring things back, you know, within 2 or 3 years, UNLV still carries a lot of weight. Those four letters carry a lot of weight with people nationally. And, you know, let's face it, too. Not a lot of these games this season have been televised and nationally, and that's a good thing because a lot of people haven't seen how bad UNLV is this season. And I think that the Rebels can bounce back from this, and not much damage will be done as long as Marvin Menzies can get in some recruits and, you know, get this team back to respectability within a year or two.
We're talking to Matt Eumanns, the Vegas Stats Information Network, 16 years with the RJ and the beat for UNLV Runner Rebels for the better part of 10 years. Matt, a year ago at this time, to say this program was in real disarray, four coaches, by the way, in 94 days. Yeah, Dave Rice, Todd Simon, let's not forget the Chris Beard era, right? And then Marvin Menzies took the job on March 14th. Four coaches. So here's a question I want to ask you. Irrespective of record, irrespective of the fact that the Rebels will finish last this year, what was your observation of Coach Menzies, his approach, his demeanor, his leadership? Size up his performance this year, as it were, from your vantage point.
Well, Marvin Menzies is about what I expected coming into the season. I think he's a good talker. You know, he's a guy who worked for Rick Pitino, and he's got a little bit of that Pitino flair. He knows how to handle people. He knows what to say. I as far as the product he put on the floor, I thought it was a poorly coached team this year, and I wasn't impressed. I mean, I never thought he was a great X's and O's guy at New Mexico State, and nothing I saw this year made me think that made me change my opinion, let's put it that way, because I thought UNLV was more of a playground type of team offensively, defensively really undisciplined. And, Bernie, I can't give Marvin high marks for this season. I think he kept a pretty good attitude, and he said a lot of the right things. And there were things, there were aspects of the job he handled well. But I've got to see a lot more out of Marvin Menzies in terms of X's and O's, because I felt like the whole time that he was a guy who wins when he has better talent than the other guy. And he's not going to out-coach many guys on the other bench. And I feel the same way after watching this season.
Let me piggyback off something there. At one point, this team was 3-4 in conference, same record they had last year. And then they fell off the face of the planet. I have my theories, and I've been bloviating them out all year. What are your theories as to why they went from 3-4 to 3-13?
Well, first of all, they're not very talented. And I think a few poor results started to impact this team's mindset in a negative way. Now, when the Rebels wanted to pit in New Mexico, I think all of us started to sense maybe a little bit of optimism that, hey, this team might be able to finish 500, and, you know, this season won't be that bad. And everything just went to a tailspin after that. I'm not sure why, except for what I saw on the floor, Bernie. And what I saw on the floor was a team that was, I thought, poorly coached and not very talented. And that's my only explanation. If you don't have much talent and you're not well coached, you're going to lose a lot of games. And that's basically what happened to UNLV.
We've had callers that have called in and asked us this, and I've been asked this several times as well, like saying, do these kids understand, as you mentioned, Matt, those four letters on their uniforms? My response has been this year, I don't think it's a matter of them not understanding what those letters represent. I think it's just a matter of them not being good enough to wear them. In your opinion right now, what would be a key, if it's at all possible, for them to win a game in the Mountain West Conference tournament this week?
Well, they can win a game because it's a really bad league. And the teams they're facing this week are not North Carolina and UCLA, Oregon, Arizona, you know, whatever. So it's possible. I mean, let's be honest, though. Even if the Rebels win a game, they're not going to win two. This team's not going anywhere. It's all about the big picture, and that's looking ahead to next season. You're right to steal a line from Rick Pitino. Larry Johnson's not walking through that door. Stacey Augmon's not walking through that door. The guys on this UNLV team, they might understand what UNLV means and the brand and you know, the power it once carried nationally, but they're just not good enough to play to that anywhere near that level. And you know, I heard Marvin talk about how these guys don't understand what it means to be a UNLV basketball player. I just agree with what you said there, Brian. I just don't think these guys are good enough. It's not about necessarily an understanding of what UNLV means and playing for pride and blah, blah, blah. They're just not very good.
Actually would like to see a 46-year-old Larry Johnson and Stacey Agumarku. I think they could have given us some minutes this year. I'm not sure if that breaks the rules or not. I'd have to double-check. Nick, if you could get on that, take a look at that. Would have been legal. Wrapping it up with Matt Eumanns here, Vegas Stats Information Network. Matt, final question I have for you, because you touched upon something. When the Rebels lost games early in the year and they were competitive, some games they were a play short, some games they were a player short. I don't think this team is particularly tough. You talked about Michigan football. True, I was there when they went through the doldrums. The bottom line is there's a sign in the Michigan football locker room that says it doesn't take any talent to hustle and be on time. Do you think Menzies got the most out of this team, whatever it was, in terms of toughness and effort?
No, I don't. And I've said this on the radio a few times this season. Your job as a coach, if you don't have a lot of talent to work with, you got to create a team that's tough. If you don't have talent, you better be tough. And this team was soft and didn't have talent. So that's the equivalent of being fat.
That's a bad parlay, man.
Broke.
that's bad, a bad parlay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad combination. And that's what this UNLV team was. And to an extent, Bernie, I kind of felt like, and Brian, I kind of felt like Marvin started to throw his players under the bus late in the season a few times. And that's an indication to me that the coaching staff had kind of quit on the team. So, no, I don't think he got nearly the potential out of this team that he could have. And, Bernie, I'll go back to when I met you for lunch, you know, a was it 14 months ago when Dave Rice was fired, and you asked me if I thought it was justified, and I said, well, you've got a two-month head start now on a coaching search, and if you get a big-time head coach in here that can turn things around overnight, then yes, I think it's justified. If you don't make the most of this two-month window and get the right coach in here, then it was a mistake. And I know at the time you thought it was a mistake, and we look back now, and it was a mistake.
Well, and I do think you qualified your answer. Had the administration made better use of that 60-day window, well, you know, it's all water under the bridge. I guess for me, you might see it in the NBA, you might see it in Major League Baseball, but in college basketball, rarely do you see a coach dismissed of his duties in midseason unless there's a serious NCAA infraction or some legal issue. But be that as it may, Matt, I appreciate you coming on today. Best of luck with your new venture over at the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You do a fine job. Check them out at vsin.com, Matt, as a senior writer. Matt, thanks for making time tonight.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, guys.
It's Matt Youmans, many years on the beat, Las Vegas Review-Journal for the UNLV Runner Rebels, and now he's with Vegas Stats Information Network. Brian, I think he nailed it.
Oh, great assessment. But Matt Youmans, like you said, Bernie, he's been covering it for a long time. He understands this team, what it makes. And I concur with a lot of what he said. I also agree, Bernie, as I've said, I thought Marvin did throw his players under the bus a few times. However, I also think that, again, when he said the coaching search, and Bernie, come on, they started throwing Rick Pitino's name around. You had Nick Cronin. Then Chris Beard takes the job. In fairness to Marvin Menzies, that 60 days that they were supposed to use to find a coach, we were hearing all kinds of names thrown around. And Marvin Menzies kind of got handed it. But the bottom line is, going back and real quickly to the Dave Rice firing, that was terrible. It was tragic. It was terrible. And if you really want to look where this domino effect went backwards, it was then. It was then, there, and that's what happened in early January when they got rid of Dave Rice in the middle of the season. It put the whole program behind the eight ball, and it's still there.
Well, and we'll find out. We won't know until next season if the residual effects continue. Back out to the phone lines. We're joined by Kevin. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. Hey, another season in the books, huh, Bernie? I always say we're lucky to have this show.
I don't recall, by the way, Kevin, seeing an inbound play under the basket for a layup today. Did you?
I didn't hear it. I listened to the games on the radio. So we'll shoot for that next year, huh, guys? An inbounds underneath the basket, a layup.
If that happens, dude, that'll be awesome.
They're going to have open tryouts in a week, Bernie, and all you got to do is make layups. Everyone that can make layups will be invited to camp next year. Kevin, you got a good layup?
Kevin, you got any eligibility left?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is what I want to say, and then I'll let you guys wrap it up and do your thing. You know, I know everybody's saying, you know, wait till Marvin gets his guys in here, right? But if you're Marvin Menzies and UNLV, you got to hope that Musselman leaves Nevada, because you guys will know, you should know, he's got guys waiting in the wings. He's got a stacked roster again next year, so they got to hope he leaves. And if you think Fisher's going to take this year sitting lightly, he won't. And Larry Stacey is going to keep cheating until somebody fires him. So the whole thing, guys, is, you know, it's not like the other teams are just going to go like, well, now we got to watch out for UNLV. They're going to bounce back and keep doing better and better. So that's college basketball, right?
Well, and your points are all valid. I think at this point the Rebels need to focus inward. I think Washington's going to bring Lorenzo Ramar back because he's got a huge class coming in. If he were to vacate, I think Musselman's interested in that job, and I think he's interested in the Minnesota job. But I don't think Pitino's going anywhere in Minnesota, so I think he will be back. But irrespective, okay, this is a team that lost to Air Force by 23. I mean, you're not worried about Dave Pilipovich. You know what I'm saying? This is a team. We got to look inward, Kevin, honestly. And I appreciate your calls after every show. They were outstanding. A lot of great insights, Kevin.
All right, guys. Until next year.
All right. Thanks, pal.
Good stuff.
Let's go out to the phones again, and we are joined. All right. There's no Steve. Okay. Brian, a couple things we want to do before we wrap it up. This is that time of year where we get to reference the old hindsight 2020 theory. What were some of the predictions at the beginning of the year?
Bernie, here's my prediction. This was my Mountain West Conference standings at the end of the season, when we started the season. And not overly embarrassed. I had San Diego State winning the conference. I did. Very, very surprising. Probably the biggest disappointment of the Mountain West this year. I had Reno coming in second. I had New Mexico third. Another disappointing season. I had Fresno right about where they're at, Bernie. I had them as the fourth seed.
Right.
Last year won the conference tournament. I had Boise fifth, so I was okay there. I had Colorado State 6th, Wyoming 7th, Utah State 8th, UNLV 9th, San Jose State 10th, and Air Force 11th. That was my Mountain West Conference standings before the season started.
Predicting the future is never easy. Back out to the phone lines, we do have Steve there. Steve, welcome back to Rebel Extra.
Guys?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys a question. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Just go ahead and blurt it out, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, this guy that you had on that was 10 years of Reverb Journal is flat telling us that Menzies threw the guys under the bus a couple times, and he's basically not a good coach. He can only win if he has more talent than
the other. He didn't say that. Hold on, Steve. Stay on the line. Let's not blur the lines. Matt indicated there were times it appeared that Coach Menzies was openly frustrated with his players, and he was. He also said that when he was at New Mexico State, he dominated the year primarily because he had better players. Those are facts. Now, he didn't say he wasn't a good coach. He didn't say that at all. But what he did say is it's going to come down to recruiting, and if he can get the kind of players he wants, then we'll see what happens. But at no time did he say Menzies was not a good coach. I just wanted to correct you, okay?
Well, I appreciate that correcting me. Maybe I need that. But what I wanted to ask you a question is, they had a coach to coach with him, one of his favorite coaches, and they said he was really good at X and O's and motivating players and making adjustments in half and that. What I'd like to ask you is, what do you guys, when you see this year, do you think he is, what is his strong points? And what is his weak point?
All right, I appreciate you checking in, Steve. I think Marvin Menzies' strengths are his ability to interact with people.
His ability to
communicate with people.
He's great in the presser.
Well, Marvin's good with people.
Yeah, he is.
I've had some nice conversations with him at Coaches versus Cancer events. He's very personable. He's very knowledgeable. And he knows what he's doing.
Absolutely.
All right, now, this is a bottom-line business. You can be the greatest heart surgeon in the world, and you can't have an operation where the patient with the operation was a huge success, but the patient died. It's like anything else; he's going to be judged on his wins and losses. But I do think he deserves time. I think he deserves 5 years, and if he doesn't get 5 years, then this program will fall into the trap that other programs have when it fits and starts. And I saw it when I covered the Detroit Lions: 6 coaches in 10 years. You have to have continuity. You have to have stability. Brian, you brought up a great stat after the San Diego State game. You said that Steve Fisher owns 26 wins against the UNLV Runner Rebels, or 27 wins. In order to do that, he would have had to have been there a long time, which he has, 20 years. You can't tell me that San Diego State's success isn't to a great degree.
That program sucked when he got there.
And by the way, his third year, they won the Mountain West Conference Tournament.
Who was his assistant coach? The year before.
Dutcher.
Yep.
But no, I'm Brian Dutcher, the same guy he had at Michigan.
One of the guys that helped him develop.
Oh, Marvin Menzies.
Marvin Menzies, man.
Okay, so here's my point. Coach Fisher at San Diego State got to the Mountain West Conference Tournament. Excuse me, won the Mountain West Conference Tournament his third year, got to the dance. Mm-hmm. Then they had two bad years after that. But they didn't throw him under the bus. They stuck with him. He won the Mountain West Conference regular season championship in year 6, and they've been the class of the conference for 10 years, and they've been a fixture in postseason play. So I believe Menzies deserves 5 years. It's an opinion, all right? You've got a new athletic director coming in. I don't know what they're thinking, but I think if you have to start over again for any reason, you're seriously setting this program back. And Matt Humes is right. UNLV is a national brand. Put on a jersey, put on a sweatshirt, go through an airport, and someone will yell out, "Running Rebels." National championship in 1990. I don't care how long ago it was. They did it. There are 342 teams that play Division I college basketball.
I think there's only about
30. Yes. How many Sweet 16s? How many tournament appearances? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll walk down memory lane all damn day if I want to. I'll look at the scrapbook all I want. The Rebels did it. Can they get back there under the right leadership? Why not? As Matt pointed out, you've got a beautiful 18,000-seat arena. You've got beautiful facilities. We're in one of the greatest cities internationally, anywhere. Who wouldn't want to be here? And when I see a guy like P.J. Fleck go to Western Michigan, Brad, you and I have been to Kalamazoo. What do they got there besides Culver's Butterburger? Nothing against Culver's Butterburger.
Derek Jeter
damn
was born
good.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan.
He went to Kalamazoo Central.
That's about it. That's all
right.
I can think of, Bernie.
Right. You ain't going on vacation there. I hope you're not listening in Kalamazoo, but if you are.
I spent a week there one day, Bernie.
I went to Kalamazoo one day. It was closed. All right, so who wouldn't want to be here in the greatest city in the world? You can accomplish all your goals. You want to play in the NBA? You can do it. You want to get a great education? You can do it. You want to play in the postseason? You can do it. Play in front of 18,000 screaming fans. You can accomplish all your goals right here. So Coach Menzies has to deliver that message, and hopefully he is. Back out to the phone lines. Gary, you're up next on Rebel Extra.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to bring up something. I've been here 35 years, and I've seen the great, and I've seen the terrible this year. But my big thing is, if this university that's been in the doldrums for years with football, they've been terrible, they just don't improve, and I'm not going to knock that, but it hasn't improved. The biggest thing is getting the proper AD, and I think getting somebody, if they're going to go big time, they want to someday, of the Power 5 conferences, getting an AD in here that's had that experience. It doesn't have to be a major program, but they played in that league, whichever of the leagues it is, whether it's Pac-12, ACC, whatever the case may be. And I think from that standpoint, we need to be picking people that have the experience. And that's somebody,
well,
he was good, the guy from Arizona.
It's
he retired.
That's Jim Lyman. Good. It's all, Gary, your point's
exactly.
taken. It's all about leadership. We get that. And then they've spent $75,000 on a search firm. Hopefully they'll earn their money.
I know. They've wasted a lot of money. I'm still not going to knock that. But this AD thing, and Ed Grady said that in his RJ. He's got great. You got some great people right here, and they know what they're doing. Other big thing is, did you know that, real quick, our Motor Speedway is like, it's ranked 16th, but I think it's like about 20th or 25th in the world. If we can do that with our speedway, we can do that with big time getting that dome and everything else. I don't want to hold you up. Go Rebels. I love you, but get it right. Thanks.
Very good. So the bottom line is, Brian, Gary can picture, he can envision the city on the hill, and it's going to take someone with vision. Wrapping it up, Brian, you had some thoughts on who will be back next year and who might not be back next year. Why not? Let's have it.
All right. Well, first thing, real quickly, Bernie, I just want to say I don't agree with the 5 years. I want to put this on record. I believe in Marvin Menzies deserves a chance, and I think he's the right guy for the job. I think 5 years is too long.
Well, he's already had one, so I'm talking
right.
four more.
Four
what,
more.
What do you
saying,
think is the proper amount?
No, I say 5 years is good on a contract. I say if you do not see a dramatic improvement, and I mean not an improvement of the team winning the Mountain West Conference like Fisher did in his third year. I am saying seeing from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, whatever team it is, a dramatic improvement of those players, a growth process. I did not see that very much this year. Maybe in a couple of players, but I did not see a lot of players grow from beginning to
end. All right, so how many, okay, let's not get off track here. How many years would you give him?
3 years with an option.
All right, well,
and that's,
fair enough. That's why we do the show. Right. I don't think we should always agree. I would give him 5. A guy Mike Pritchard played for in Colorado, Bill McCartney, 1-8, 5-6, 4-7 his first 3 years. They stuck with him and won a national championship 5 years later. This fast food, microwave, instant society that we're in is not going to serve us well. There's got to be continuity and stability with this program. He spent a dozen years in New Mexico State. Give the guy a chance. Give him 2 or 3 recruiting classes. Because if you start over again in 3 years, what have you got?
No, I understand that. I am just saying I want to see a better improvement. Like Matt said, you said that you feel you get the most out of your players. I'll say this. After the third season, if you ask that question to somebody like Matt Eumanns, I want him to say, you know what?
So if they're under 500 the next 2 years, and they might be, what do
you
do?
I don't say to get rid of him. Like I said, if I see an improvement of the individual players, I see them growing as basketball players on the hardwood.
How does that manifest itself as a practical matter? It has to be wins and losses. You could say, boy, they're getting a lot better. Instead of losing by 23 to Air Force, we're only losing by 9. You've got to have a measurable. They have to win. You can't.
I understand what you're saying. And, again, it's a
That's why I'm saying you give them 5 years. It's not a picnic. It's not carte blanche. It's not cradle to grave. So it's giving him time.
But you're saying he wins 11 games, or say 15 games in his third year with some ugly losses, and again, some players
depends
making
on the circumstances. Depends on the recruiting class coming in the following year. Depends how those games were won or lost, whether or not there were injuries. It's a little bit more nuanced than that.
Okay.
But let's take your scenario. Let's say they're going to end on 11 wins. All right. I said they'd end on 10. I got the email to prove it. They're going to end on 11. They're not winning Wednesday.
I said 14.
Okay, fair enough. It doesn't matter. Let's say they win 14 next year and 14 the third year. What are you going to do?
Bernie, prettier games. I mean, I don't know how to
You're never going to like the way you lose.
No, but there's times that you lose when you should lose. There are games that, you know, like I said, I don't believe they gave up. I don't believe that they had the talent to stay in some of the games. But they proved at certain times. I was writing down and looking at a stretch they went in January where they lost three games by cumulatively 7 points. And two of them were on the road. It was a good stretch where they showed they could play basketball. Then all of a sudden they went on this horrific losing streak where it looks like in games they just flat laid down. That is not an improvement. I'm looking for it to go the other way.
What happened is they peaked on New Year's Eve day against Wyoming. That was a legitimate win.
Legit.
Ball screens, pick and rolls. Moring established himself as the point guard.
All year.
Break it down off the bounce. Finding the open teammate. They looked really good that game.
I want to see consistency out of guys. Now, Christian Jones is gone, but out of guys like Javon Moring next year, some consistency.
I don't think he'll play as many minutes next year. You got Jordan Johnson, the new point guard coming in from Milwaukee that Rob Jeter brings over. I think he'll start at the point. I think Moring will back him up, and you'll see time at the two. But I don't think Moring's a 35-minute-a-game guy. And I love the guy.
I do, too.
He cracks me up. He's a nice kid. He's got a nice personality. He's got skills, dude.
No, he's a D1 player.
He's a little goofy.
He is a D1 player.
You know, he'll do some things that'll make you tear your hair out, but he'll also win games for you. They would not have beaten Wyoming without him. They would not have beaten New Mexico without him. They sure as hell wouldn't beat Air Force without him. 35-foot banked in three, and they would not have beaten Utah State the other night.
I can't imagine where they would have been this year without Javon Moring. Put it that way. I mean, I can't imagine.
This is where we've come, folks. Where would we have been
without Javon Moring?
It's like the time I saw the Miami Heat, their first year, come to the sports arena. I was living in L.A. at the time. The Heat were 0-18. And the guy says, why would you go to that game? I got to go, I want to see Ronnie Cicely play. They're 0-18. Yeah, but imagine where the Heat would be without Ronnie Cicely.
Oh, God almighty.
You're supposed to laugh there.
All right, final thoughts,
Brian. We're gonna close it down. Okay. We don't want people driving off the road
here. I just want to say, going back to the initial question you asked me, and I'll give it to you quick, I think we're going to see probably 6 or 7 guys that you see in uniform right now wearing uniforms next year. I think there's no question Jordan Johnson, who we didn't see this year, will be the starting point guard this year. Okay, I think Chris Clyborne has proved that he deserves to be here. I think injuries have plagued him all season long. He definitely will be a part of this team. Check to Dembele, the most improved player from day
Agreed.
One to the end of the
Agreed.
Season. He's going to be here. Obviously, Javon Moring is going to be a cog in this team. Whether
All
he
right,
comes
the
$64 off the
question. Jalen Poyser, Zion Morgan, and Troy Baxter. Two for three, one of three.
I will say for sure, 2 for 3. For sure. And again, I'm going to go on record saying I think it will be a long-term mistake, but I think Troy Baxter Jr. is gone. I think, again, the best raw talent on this basketball team.
Well, he's a run-and-jump athlete. I don't know if he is. He's a four-star recruit out of Florida. He is a run-and-jump athlete.
Let's see.
Birds can fly. That doesn't mean they can play basketball.
Let's see who gets a hold of him and what happens. But I think he's gone. I don't think
he fits Menzies' script for success.
No, I don't either. I have a feeling that Zion Morgan is gone as well.
Really?
I hope he stays. Here's the thing, Bernie. Defensively, I think he is a good player. I think in other areas, he's a bit of a liability. He makes a lot of mistakes. And I didn't see that improving as he got some minutes in. And you saw his minutes. All of a sudden, he was given a bunch of minutes, and then they declined dramatically in the last couple of games. And I think Menzies is seeing what I'm seeing. Too many mistakes, but he can play defense. And I think we see Menzies yell at him all the time. My question is he yelling at him out of frustration, or is he yelling at him because he's going to be part of the future and he wants to improve? Which one
is
that?
It's both. He's out of frustration because when people make the same mistakes over and over and over, and they're not assignment sound on defense, and they lose focus or can't close out on a shooter or don't understand simple help plays, time and time and time again, then you ask yourself, does this player, not just him, any player, Do you grasp what it takes to compete on this level?
Does he get it? And that's my point, is that's why I think that Zion Moore is going to... Now, Poizer is going to be the wild card. He's the one guy that I think is a 50-50 chance whether he'll go stay. Yeah, I do.
I agree with Kevin, our caller.
You think he's long gone?
Yeah, I think something happened. I don't know that he can play on this level. Remember, going into the conference, he would have been, him and Tyrell Green would have been co-MVPs. And by the way... Jalen Poizer averaged like 12.8 per game in non-conference. So who was that against? Incarnate Word, Southern Illinois,
yeah, I understand.
Cal State Fullerton, UC Riverside.
So you think Zion Morgan above Jalen Poizer? You would say out of those three, if one of them is still going to be here, it would be Zion Morgan?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be a guess.
It's a guess. I don't have any inside
information. Here for sure. Where's he going to go? Georgie's here. And maybe Georgie. I mean, when you got a guy that tall,
hopefully. How about Larry Bush? Is he back?
Larry Bush is gone.
Is he?
Yeah, Larry Bush is gone. Obviously, Dwayne Morgan's going to be here. Dwayne Morgan got that extra
Bush
year.
So Bush is only a one-term president.
Yeah, okay. He's getting one term. And Jalen Blue, 6-1, half dozen of the other. Who knows?
He's
a walk-on anyways, isn't he? So, I mean, he's not taking up a scholarship, so why not? I mean, but I definitely think that the guy's gone. Ben Coupette Jr.
Ben Coupette.
Gone.
Look how time flies. When people would argue me that his name wasn't pronounced Coupette, it was Coupe. I turned out to be right.
You were right. But they need that scholarship, Bernie. They need the scholarship.
Well.
They need the scholarship.
Good point, Brian. All right. Folks, I want to thank all of you who have been with us through this journey since November 7th. This has been my sixth year of doing Rebel Extra. I consider it a privilege. I enjoy very much having an opportunity to visit with you folks. Las Vegas has some great sports fans. Will the Rebels put a winning product on the floor next year? I have no idea, but I'll be here, and I want to be here when they do, and I believe that day can happen. Brian, you got the final thought.
Well, final thought, I just want to remind everyone, the Mountain West Conference tournament is here. First time ever not the first time ever. I don't think it's the first time the UNLV's ever finished 11th, is it? I wasn't sure about that.
I don't believe they've ever finished 11th.
Yeah, so it's the first time you're going to see UNLV at the Thomas and Mack Center playing in the conference tournament as the 11th seed. They will play the winner of a game that's going on right now between San Diego State and New Mexico. The other games are set.
No. They'll play the loser.
Excuse me, I meant the loser between San Diego State and New Mexico.
And actually, let's see if we can get a score update.
See if we can get a score.
The truth of the matter is, that's going to be the game. It tipped off at 7 p.m. at Wise Pies Arena in New Mexico.
Yep.
San Diego State wants, they both want to win because then they get Wednesday off. So the Rebels will get the loser of that.
It's a big game in that respect.
In their minds, it is, because I think both of those teams have designs on believing they can win the Mountain West Conference tournament. I do not believe San Diego State will. I think they're a pretender, because I don't think they can survive a bad shooting night. But be that as it may, they've got to get through tonight at New Mexico, and the Rebels will play
the loser,
4 o'clock, which would be great. Maybe they get more fans out there.
More fans at that time, and the other game's Wednesday. Just so you know, the Mountain West Conference tournament kicks off, or I should say tips off, Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. San Jose State, who finishes as the eighth seed, will play Utah State,
Utah State, at what time?
And that is 11 o'clock in the morning.
Good
on Wednesday.
Good sections still available.
A few of them, just a couple seats. And also at 1:30, the number 7 will play the number 10. That will be Wyoming and Air Force. Should be a bit of a shootout there, and of course,
whoa, baby,
yeah,
you get the Cowboys and Falcons together at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday. Who needs sex? By the way, we've got a score. It looks like a real barn burner. 11:58 to go in the first. New Mexico 6, San Diego State 5. I think San Diego State just went to their bullpen to bring in a pitching change.
Bertie, is that on? That sounds like a good cure for insomnia.
Something like that.
Actually, I have a bit more of an update. It's actually 7:44 in the first, 13-10, San Diego State.
Wow, they are lighting it up.
Beautiful. Thanks, Nick, for the update. My Commodore 64 failed me. All right, folks. They're going to kick us out or something. We're going to have to go. But, again, I want to thank everybody for listening this year on Rebel Extra. He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. And that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Rebel Extra.
Hey, can I tell him, Bernie, real quick, check out my show tomorrow
That's
morning.
That's right, 8 a.m. online.
We're going to be talking college basketball. It's over across the hall, Fox Sports, 1340, and that's from 8 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Check it out. I can use the callers, and it's a caller-driven show as well. Give me a call.
You still got caller number 9 win those Menudo tickets still? Or
those are gone, Bernie.
God, you guys drive a hard
But I do have some NASCAR tickets to give away tomorrow.
Beautiful.
So, hey.
He's Brian Feldman. I'm Bernie Fratto. I want to thank Nick Atomo for putting up with us tonight. Next up for the Runner Rebels, Wednesday, 4 o'clock, they'll open the Mount West Conference Tournament as the 11 seed against either New Mexico or San Diego State. Let's get some support out at the MAC. Let's see what happens. In the meantime, today's final score, Fresno State Bulldogs 72, UNLV Runner Rebels 59. Good night, folks. Thanks to everybody for listening, and I appreciate all the folks that took time to call in tonight and throughout the season. Final thought, go Rebels.